So let's look, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start looking at verse 24. This was our theme verse for one of our series. I believe it was last year, could have been the year before. So it might sound familiar if you've been here for a while, but this is what it says. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Maybe on Super Bowl Sunday, we would say it this way. Don't you realize that in a game, everyone plays, but only one team gets the trophy? So play to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. We play for an eternal trophy. So I run, so I play, so I practice, so I work with purpose in every step. This morning, I want to speak to you just for a moment on lessons from the locker room. Lessons from the locker room. Let's pray. God, I ask in these next few moments, open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to say to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And with expectation, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, in honor of Super Bowl 50, I have 50 lessons from the locker room. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Somebody had a heart attack back there. No, I'm kidding. I only have 30. In honor of Super Bowl 30, that's the last Super Bowl that the Cowboys won 20 years ago. I'm kidding. Oh, my gosh. No, actually, I have four things that I want to share with you today. Four lessons from the locker room, or maybe you could say four game-changing practices. Four things that you can put into your life that will change the outcome of your life. And here's the very first one. Celebrate your first downs. Celebrate your first downs. You might not be in the end zone, but you are on your way. Celebrate your first downs. You might look at it and say, well, it's only 10 yards, but it's enough to keep the drive alive. You've got to learn what it is to celebrate your first downs, because in football, you get four chances to take the ball across that line. You get four chances to go 10 yards. And if you take the ball across that marker, then guess what? You get another four downs to go another 10 yards. And you might say, but we're still so far away from the end zone. We're still so far away from the goal line. We're still so far away from where we want to be. But you're 10 yards closer than you used to be, and you need to learn what it is to celebrate your first downs. Sure, you don't get any points for a first down, but don't let it kill your momentum either. You see, you need the momentum of every first down so that you can keep moving the ball down the field. And if you don't get excited about your last first down, the chances are you're not going to get the next first down. Got to learn what it is to celebrate your first downs. So that's why whenever you read your Bible 3 days in a row and you've never done that before, you need to celebrate your first down. You've never in your life prayed for 15 minutes and you woke up at 6:45 in the morning and you prayed until 7 and you prayed for 15 minutes straight. You need to celebrate your first down. You've never signed up to serve here at North Point Community Church, and you've been coming for 12 months, and you've never joined a team. And today, you're going to walk out there into the foyer, you're going to go to the Connection Center, and you're going to say, I want to sign up to serve, and you're going to put your name on that list. And whenever you walk out into the parking lot, you need to celebrate your first down. You know, one thing I love in the stadiums is whenever the announcer comes over, when you know, the home team gets a first down, and the announcer comes over the stadium and they say, that's enough for a Bronco. Oh, my God. I'm just going to say, the 9:30 service shouted so loud, it almost blew me through the back screen. Now, I thought this crowd was just going to give it to me. This crowd, you said that like you were at a golf match. Come on, I want you like you're in the stadium right now. That's enough for a Bronco. Oh, you see, what you need to get down into your heart today is whenever we start moving the ball down the field, and no, we're not everything we want to be here at North Point, and no, we're not everything that we dreamed of yet, but you see, we're getting first downs, and we're moving a little bit closer, and we're putting the game plan into action. And so whenever we get first downs, we're going to celebrate the first down, and so we're going to stand up and say, that's enough for a North Point. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Now you just need to take out North Point and put your own name in there. And whenever you do something good, you just need to stand up in your living room and you just need to say, that's enough for a Philip D's first down right there. And you just need to move the ball on down the field. See, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us a story. And he tells the story that of a master who was going out of town. And the master drops off these bags of silver, 5 bags of silver to one man and 2 bags of silver to another and 1 bag of silver to another man. And the master goes away in Jesus' story. And the master comes back and he calls the man that he had given 5 bags of silver to. And he says, what did you do with the 5 bags of silver that I gave you? And he said, sir, I turned it into another 5 bags. So you gave me 5 and now I'm giving you back 10. And this is what in the story the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. He said, it was only 5 bags of silver. It was a small thing that you did. It was seemingly insignificant. But then he goes on and says this, now I'm going to give you more responsibilities and let's celebrate together. He said it might have been small and it didn't seem like it was very big, and it might have seemed insignificant to you and to those around you, but I'm here to tell you that I want to celebrate with you, because the master had learned the principle of you better celebrate the small victory, because whenever I give him more, if I'm going to see another victory, I better celebrate this last one if I'm going to celebrate again. If he won there, I better pat him on the back and we better celebrate together, because I want to win the next fight and I want to win the next battle and I want to get the next first down. You've got to learn how to celebrate the first downs in your life. Listen to me, you celebrating small successes won't prevent you from bigger victories. It will actually propel you to bigger victories. Now see, here's where really competitive, really driven type A people, this is where they can miss it, because their fear is this. Their fear is that if I cheer here, then I will never get there. If I cheer here, I'll never get there, and that's where I want to go. And if I cheer here, it's going to prevent me from moving forward. Can I tell you the very opposite of that is true? That if you don't cheer here, you're going to run out of steam over there. If you don't cheer here, you're going to end up and fail over here. If you don't cheer here, you're going to run out of strength over there. So you've got to learn what it is to celebrate your victory here and to cheer for yourself here, so that whenever you get over here, you'll have the strength and the stamina you need to do it all over again. I love Pastor Stephen Furtick. Pastor's in a great church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he preached a message at the beginning of the year entitled, Don't Skip Dessert. Or you could just say amen at the title, okay? I mean, just go ahead and tell, you know, elbow your wife and say, babe, I tell you, I'm being godly when I ate that brownie last night. Don't skip dessert. But this is what he told it in the context of. He told it in the context of that whenever you win a battle, you got to take a bite. And he was saying that the spoils from this victory are actually the strength you need for the next battle. And if you never stop to enjoy the spoils, if you don't learn what it is to celebrate the first down, then you're not going to have the strength and the stamina to overcome your next struggle. You're not going to have what it takes to make it through your next storm. You're not going to have what it takes to push through the tough days so that you can get to the next first down. So you need to learn what it is to celebrate your first downs, because here's what you will discover. Your celebration is actually your elevation to your future. Your domination. Your celebration is your elevation to your future domination. If you're going to dominate your opponent, you better learn how to celebrate the small things. Take 5 bags of silver and turn it into 10. Take 5 minutes of prayer and turn it into 10. Take reading for 5 minutes a day and turn it into 10. And whenever you do that, you better stand up and you better stand in your living room, stand up in your bedroom, and you better tell the enemy, that's enough for a Philip D's first down. Oh, if you want to just go ahead and get hype with it, go ahead and just break out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just do whatever you, hey, whatever. Oh, I mean, go ahead. First down. I mean, I don't care what it takes, but you better celebrate your first downs. I told you I was ready. You weren't ready for that. Here's number two. Not only are we celebrating our first downs, number two is this. Don't panic on fourth down. Don't panic on fourth down. You know, we're football fans, we love fourth down. I mean, what is it about fourth down? It doesn't have to be even at the end of the game. It can be in the second quarter, and the team's going to go for it on fourth down, and it's like something that's just hardwired into you. You just stand up, and you just start clapping, and you start shouting. Like, you don't even really know what you're really shouting about. But it's fourth and two. Ah! I mean, and everybody's doing it. We love fourth down. And here's why I believe that we love fourth down, because I believe that God loves fourth down. You say, I didn't know that God loved football. Yes, God loves football. That's why we're praying for Destiny, because she doesn't, and we just want her to be more like God, okay? Because fourth down, your back is up against the wall. Fourth down is now or never. Fourth down, this is your last chance. It's the last moment, and God specializes on fourth down. Just ask David, who went out to fight Goliath, and maybe you're familiar with the story, and it's a great story about how this shepherd boy goes out there and beats this great Philistine warrior, and man, there are wonderful lessons that we could take away from that. My little girls were watching the Bible story on the television today of David and Goliath. It is a fabulous story, but you know, there was a lot more to it than just that, because it was the future of Israel was weighing in the balance. This wasn't a boxing match that if the boxer got beat, he takes 6 months off and he gets back into the ring again and he gets another chance to fight. No. He said this, if David lost, then all the people of Israel had to serve the Philistines. But if David won, then the Philistines would have to serve Israel. You see, the future of two countries were here. What does that look like to you? That's not first down right there. That's not second down. That's not third down. When David stepped out onto the battlefield, it was fourth down. The back was up against the wall. This was the last opportunity. It was do or die in that moment. And let me tell you something, God specializes in fourth down. Ask Elijah, the prophet, who went up to Mount Carmel. And when he walked up on Mount Carmel, there were 400 prophets of Baal who were serving a false god. And they said, today we will find out who the real God is. We're going to call on our God to send fire from heaven. And 400 prophets of Baal began to chant, and they began to cheer, and they began to dance, and they're waiting for fire to fall from heaven. And there is Elijah standing by himself. Let me tell you, it was a fourth down moment whenever he looked to heaven. And he said, God, if you don't come through now, God, if you don't come through in this moment, God, I'm asking you right now to prove yourself. Let fire fall down from heaven. And on fourth down, fire fell down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice on the altar, and God proved himself there to be all powerful. You see, if you don't believe God likes fourth downs, then just ask the disciples. Because the disciples were there when Jesus died. They watched love die. They watched hope die. They took Jesus' cold body off the cross, and they carried it there to the tomb, and they put it there in the tomb, and they rolled the stone over the tomb, and they thought that it was over. They thought there was no chance. It was the darkest day they had ever had, and they were locked up in a room, and they were scared about their life, and they did not know what their future was going to have in store. You see, they thought the game was over. But the game wasn't over. It was only fourth down. And God specializes in showing up on fourth down. And it was on fourth down that life was breathed back into Jesus' body. And the stone was rolled away. And Jesus came out alive, because God does his best work on fourth down. And maybe today it feels like fourth down in your life. First down didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Second down, you didn't advance the ball the way you should have advanced the ball. Third down was just a complete failure. And now you're staring fourth down in the face. It looks impossible. It feels improbable. It sounds inconceivable. But can I just remind you of Jesus' words in Matthew 28? And he said, "And you can be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus wanted you to know that it's not over. I'm still with you. And if God is for you, then who in the world could be against you? It might be fourth down, but God loves fourth down. You might be facing a challenge, but God loves a good challenge. It might be the middle of the night for you, but God loves the middle of the night, because in the midnight hour, he can show up and shine the brightest in your life. Don't panic on fourth down, because on fourth down, you're still in God's hand. Here's number three, the third lesson that we can learn. The third lesson we can learn. Take advantage of the turnover. Take advantage of the turnover. I can promise you, if you turn on your television today, the broadcasters are going to be talking about who can take advantage of the turnover. A turnover, for the non-football fans here, is it's a thing called a fumble or an interception, okay? It's whenever one team has the ball and all of a sudden they do something stupid and they give the ball to the other team. And so the announcers are going to be talking about who can take advantage of the turnover, who can take the turnover and turn it into points. And let me tell you, every single successful Christian takes advantage of the turnover. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about you get the opportunity to turn over your burdens for God's rest. So you get to turn over your burdens. You get to turn over your stress, and you get to walk away with God's rest. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You see, you've got to take advantage of that turnover. You see, not only that, but you also get to turn over your worry and you get peace. You get to turn over your anxiety and get peace. You get to turn over your fear today and walk out with the peace of God, because you're going to take advantage of the turnover. Because this is what Paul says in Philippians. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Verse 7, he says, then you will experience God's peace. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Then you get to experience God's peace. That means that you need to take advantage of the turnover. Whatever you walked in worried about, whatever you walked in here filled with anxiety about, whatever you walked in here fearful about, you don't have to walk out with that same thing. Take advantage of the turnover that is here for you today, and you can turn that over to God, and you can walk out with his peace. You see, not only that, you also get to turn over your sin and you get grace in his righteousness. Oh, you got to take advantage of this turnover. Paul talks about it in Romans 5, 17. He says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph. Everybody say triumph. You will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. You see, you get to turn over your sin today. It doesn't matter how dark your past is. It doesn't matter if you did what you said you would never do. It doesn't matter how many things you did wrong this week. It doesn't matter, because you get to take advantage of the turnover, and you get to turn over your sin. And whenever you turn over your sin, you get to receive the forgiveness and the grace and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ will make you a winner every time. You got to take advantage of the turnover. Not only that, you get to turn over your life and you get his life. You get to turn over your mundane existence and you get to pick up his miraculous existence. You get to turn over your average life and you get to live his abundant life. And it's what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He said, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you better take advantage of the turnover. I'm telling you, you can turn over your life and I'll give you a life better than you ever dreamed. I'm telling you, you. If you'll just let go of the life that you're living, then you can have the life that I'm trying to give you. If you'll just let go of this, then you can have that. But you've got to take advantage of the turnover. Turn over your life so that you can get the life that God created you to live. You got to take advantage of the turnover. Turn over your life to God. Turn it over. Take advantage of the turnover. Every good team takes advantage of the turnover. You need to take over. You need to take advantage of the turnover in your life. And here's number four. Fourth lesson from the locker room. The fourth game-changing practice is put the ball down. Put the ball down. Have you discovered that nobody wins the game at the press conferences the week before the game? Nobody secured victory this week on social media because they had the best Twitter post, because they put up the best, they got the most likes on Instagram. Nobody won the Super Bowl because of their social media participation. Nobody gains advantage throughout this week. Nobody gains an advantage by talking trash, talking smack about their opponent. No, there's no advantage to gain through that. You can't talk your way to the Lombardi Trophy. You don't talk your way into being Super Bowl champions. There's only one way to walk off the field with that trophy, and then you play for it. You earn it in between those white lines. It's the only way to be champions. It's the only way to win. You don't get to talk your way into victory. You have to earn it through how you play. When I was a high school football player, we had a coach, Coach Mack. Coach Mack played defensive line at Tulane University. Coach Mack was just removed from playing. He was 300 pounds, and he looked like he could rip your head off and punt it a mile. Coach Mack coached defense, and I was a quarterback. I played offense, and so we were enemies. And so every day we would get like to scrimmage time where the offense would go against the defense in practice. We had a little live competition. Me and a few of our offensive players, we would start talking a little trash to Coach Mack. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're not as smart as I thought you were. I mean, he's 300 pounds, rip your head off, punt it a mile, and you're talking trash to him. Yeah, I kind of look back, and I wonder some things about myself as well. And I'm talking about, we're just going to town. We're telling him this is what's about to happen to your defense. We're saying, what do y'all do over there on that other practice field? Y'all just have lemonade, and what do y'all do over there? We're over here working. You know, we're about to work you. We're about to show you who's boss around here. I'm talking about we would do it on purpose. We would do it intentionally because Coach Mack, man, you could almost see the steam start coming out of his ears. And, man, he would start pacing, and he'd start walking on the sidelines. And we just kept on talking. And we kind of giggle a little bit because we knew we were really getting to him. And I'm telling you, man, his eyes would just start getting all crazy. And, man, he would walk over there into the bag. When finally it had got to the end, he would walk into the ball bag, reach over, take a ball, walk it all the way out into the middle of the field. And as loud as he could yell, he would hold that ball in the air and he would say, "Put the ball down," and he would slam the football down, and we all knew what that meant. That means the talking has stopped. There is no more room for chatter. Now it is time to put up or shut up. Now it is time to say hut. Now it is time to play the game. I'm tired of the talking. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but you know, the devil loves to talk trash. The enemy enjoys accusing you of your past sin. He loves stirring up current fears in your life. He loves predicting your future failures. What is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to defeat you before the game even begins. He's trying to trick you in the press conference to not even show up on the field. The enemy is trying to convince you that you should just withdraw from this competition. You should just go ahead and surrender right now. Before the ball is even kicked off, you just need to wave the white flag and call it quits. You see, the enemy is talking trash. The enemy is talking trash. The enemy's making threats. The enemy in your life, he's throwing around some intimidating language. But there's one thing that the enemy does not want to hear. There is one thing the enemy does not want to hear come out of your mouth today. The enemy does not want you to get into the ball bag and pick up a ball and take it out to the middle of the field and say, put the ball down, because the talking has to stop. And you see, that's the only place that the enemy can win. The only place the enemy gets to win is in the talking game. The only way the enemy wins is if he convinces you not to play. The only way the enemy gets to win is if he convinces you don't even show up to the game. Don't even show up to kickoff, because there's no chance that you're going to win. You're going to continue to fail, because the enemy knows that if you show up on the field and you put the ball down and you let the enemy know that it's time for the talking to stop, it's time for the smack talking to come to an end, and it's time to play the game. Hear me this morning. The enemy knows he doesn't have a chance. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, the enemy was defeated. 2,000 years ago, he did his very best to keep Jesus in the grave. 2,000 years ago, he did everything that he could do. But you see, Jesus got up out of the grave 2,000 years ago, and he was victorious. And from that moment on, the enemy has been losing every time somebody said, we're putting the ball down, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now on the inside of me. And so the enemy knows if you show up to the game, he doesn't have a chance. You say, but why does he know that? Because you see, you're not coming out there to the field dressed in your own experiences, dressed in your own wisdom, dressed in your own strength, dressed in you're not showing up to the game in your own good works, in your own well-being. No, that's not how you're coming to the game. Instead, you're coming to the game, and what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, you're coming to the game, and you're coming dressed for battle. You're coming dressed for war. You're coming with the helmet of salvation on, and the enemy knows, oh, this is not a fair fight, because you've been saved and you've been washed in the blood, and you're not showing up in your own strength and your own power. Now you have been redeemed, and you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then the enemy gets to see that you're showing up there with your breastplate, your shoulder pads on, and those shoulder pads represent the righteousness of Christ, that all of your sin has been forgiven, that every accusation he could make against you, it's been already covered up by the righteousness of Christ. And he says, man, there's nothing I can do. And then he looks down and he sees you got the belt of truth on, and that says, I'm not buying your lie anymore, devil. I'm not listening to your press conference jibber jabber any longer, because there's a truth on the inside of me that says that you're going to lose. It says, if God is for me, who can be against me? It says, I can do all things through Christ. There is something on the, he sees the belt of truth. And then he looks down at your feet and he sees you got the right shoes on, you got the cleats on, and the cleats are the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows the good news has gotten into your heart, that you don't have to be who you used to be, that there's a hope for your future and faith for your future, and you realize that you got the right shoes on. And then he looks down and says, whoa, they've got the shield of faith. That means they're standing on the word of God, and it doesn't matter. They're going to celebrate every first down. They're not panicking on fourth down. Oh my goodness, what's happening right now? Because they are coming out here to play and to put the ball down. The enemy knows in that moment there is nothing that he can do to win that fight, because you're coming out there and you're declaring war on him, and you're saying, it's time for us to put the ball down. See, I believe today somebody just needs to stand up and to declare in the enemy, it's time to put the ball down. The press conference is over. The Twitter smack talk is over. We're not talking anymore. We're putting the ball down today. We're putting the ball down against the righteousness of Christ. We're putting the ball down against the power of Almighty God. We're putting the ball down today. Woo. I told you I was ready. I knew something good was gonna come out of playing football. Let me tell you why you need to put the ball down today. Why you need to look the enemy in the eye and to say, all those accusations
It's time for you to shut your mouth. You've been trying to intimidate me way too long. You've been trying to bring up my past way too long. You've been trying to stir up the fear in me way too long. You have done way too much talking. But you see, now it's getting close to kickoff time. It's getting close to kickoff time, and I'm putting the ball down. And here's what you need to know. You need to know, and the enemy will see it, because whenever you put the ball down, here's what's going to happen. You move the ball 10 yards, and the enemy's still going to show up trying to talk trash. Ah, you just made it 10 yards. Oh, you just made it to church 3 weeks in a row. And you feel like because you just went 3 weeks in a row that everything in your life is going to change. And you say, no, my life not be where I want it to, but let me just tell you, first down, we're moving the ball on down the field. And the enemy's going to show up and say, hey, where's God now? It sure is looking dark in your life right now. And it's looking like God has left you. And it's not looking good for your future. And then you say, oh, no, the game's not over. It's just fourth down right now. And God does his best work on fourth down. You see, and then you just need to tell the enemy, oh, I'm taking advantage of every turnover. You're not talking me out of it anymore. I'm turning over my sin today. I'm turning over my fear today. I'm turning over my worry today. I'm going to take advantage of the turnover that is mine in Jesus' name. And you just tell him, oh, we're putting the ball down. It's time to play. I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.